Chapter 2. Spirit and Holy Spirit. In the Gospel according to John, verses 32, 33 and 34 of the first chapter it is written, "And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." In these words of John, you will notice that a distinction is made between Spirit and Holy Spirit. Spirit becomes Holy Spirit only when it can descend upon a human being and remain upon him. This is an exceedingly instructive and remarkable evangelical fact, and it is completely endorsed by the modern universal doctrine. The Spirit is the intrinsic being of the Gnosis, the essence of the immovable kingdom, the power substance of the new life. Purity and an infinite difference in vibration cause a wide chasm between this divine Spirit and the consciousness principle from which we dialectical people live. The quintessence of the original life can communicate itself to a human being if inwardly, fundamentally, and structurally, he clears the way for it in his microcosm with one pointed purpose, excluding everything else to help mankind in the service of the Gnosis. The Spirit descends on such a person, and this Spirit then becomes Holy Spirit, the sanctifying, healing Spirit. You know what we mean by self-surrender of the I. If in this self-surrender there would be one atom of gladness and joy because the I is leaving this pool of tears to go to the eternal land of the Father, the Spirit could not communicate itself to us. This would be a state of very refined I-centrality, and therefore, it would imply bondage. No, the Spirit of the divine realm can communicate itself to us only if we manifest our self-surrender in absolute service to mankind. Yet even here there may not be any trace of self-satisfaction. This is why it says in our temple song, Nur 73, "All joys must I relinquish, even the joy of serving Zero Lord." Even in serving, the I must be non-existent. The worker must be a sacrifice to the multitudes in complete selflessness, which is a state void of self-satisfaction but also a state of immunity to any resultant suffering. Then, Spirit will become Holy Spirit. The sanctifying Spirit will remain with the pupil, and this Spirit will then be a Spirit of absolute healing. We must serve mankind impersonally, focusing on and starting from the laws of liberating life. We must serve impersonally so strictly that there can be neither joy nor sadness, self-satisfaction nor suffering. There are frequent revelations of the Spirit as a support extended to us on the path to truly divine life, but this support can be completely liberating only if service to the Gnosis is merged into service to mankind, and service to mankind is merged into service to the Gnosis. Then there will also be harvesters.